If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. Today, Sunday, October 7th, marks the fourth anniversary of Worth Baptist Hour. It was on the first Sunday in October in 1969 that the first broadcast in this series was aired. As we begin our fifth year of broadcasting, I want to re-emphasize the purpose of this radio ministry. We have but one objective on Worth Baptist Hour, and that is to share Christ with you. We have but one message, and our message is the gospel of redeeming grace. We believe that people all over the world without Christ are lost. We believe that those who die without a saving knowledge of Jesus will spend eternity eternally separated from God in the regions of the damned. Motivated by these things, it is our desire to get the gospel to as many people as we possibly can in the closing days of this age. So Worth Baptist Hour continues to broadcast to bring to you and your family the good news of redeeming grace. I trust today that as this broadcast comes into your home, perhaps for the very first time, or maybe you've been a regular listener for many months or even during the 4 years that we've been broadcasting, whatever the case might be, I'm trusting that this broadcast today will be a real blessing to your heart. We are designating the month of October on the broadcast as Anniversary Month. And I'm hoping that many of you will write us during the days of October. If you've just heard the broadcast once, or if you've been listening for several weeks, or perhaps you heard the very first broadcast, and I would especially like to hear from those who heard the first broadcast 4 years ago today. Sometime during October, and make it today, unless you forget it or put it off too long, write to us here at Worth Baptist Hour. Let us know that you're in the listening audience. Let us know that you hear the broadcast, and let us know that these broadcasts prove to be blessings to your heart and to your life. So I trust that during October, anniversary month on the broadcast, that you will write. And to everyone who writes during the month of October, we will send to you free and postage paid one of our books of sermons entitled, Look Up, Christian, Christ is Coming. Write us during anniversary month, during the month of October, and address your mail to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And let me take this opportunity to invite you to attend Sunday school at Worth Baptist Church today. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. We have but one textbook in the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church, and that textbook is the Bible, the Word of God. We emphasize the inspiration of the Scriptures. We believe that all of God's Word is inspired. And we teach the book of God week after week in every class, in every department, and in every unit of our Sunday school. So we would be happy for you to come today and study with us the Word of God in the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock. Our Sunday morning worship hour begins at 11 o'clock, and our Sunday evening worship service is at 7. All of these services have been planned with your spiritual needs in mind. You'll find a warm welcome, a friendly and spiritual atmosphere in which to worship God here at Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Worth Baptist Church is easily accessible from all parts of the city of Fort Worth and of Tarrant County by the Pauley Freeway, that's Highway 287, and by Loop 820. So why not plan to come today? You'll discover that the drive and the distance will be worth it. Come today to fellowship with God's people, to study the Word of God, and to worship the Lord Jesus at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. I trust that you'll make your way today to visit with us here at Worth Baptist Church. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, The Most Peculiar People on Earth. I shall read from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are today for the beginning of this fifth year of broadcasting the gospel over Worth Baptist Hour. It would be our prayer that as this broadcast fills the air, that the hearts of many listeners might be blessed. May the Holy Spirit suit a special blessing to every heart. May there be an awakening, a spirit of revival, a turning to Thee all over this community and around the nation and around the world. Give, we pray, to every preacher of the gospel this day the anointing of Thy Spirit, that Christ might be preached in power and that souls might be saved. Bless the broadcast in the days to come, and may it be used to reach many, those who are despondent and discouraged, those who are in sorrow, those who have sickness and problems and difficulties. May they find something in this broadcast today that would cheer them on, and that would bring them to a total and complete reliance upon Jesus Christ. Because we ask these things in His name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, at verse 9. And Peter writes, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Consider again the words of Peter in verse 9. You are a peculiar people. Our world today is populated by more than 3.5 billion souls. They tell us that by the year 2000, this number will double, which means that there'll be almost 8 billion people living by the year 2000. Represented among these are people of all races, all nationalities, all sizes and types and ages, and from every culture and civilization on the globe. And in this number, there are a lot of strange people. I believe the most peculiar people of all are God's people, the people called Christians. I read in the book of Acts, chapter 11, at verse 15, that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Why were they called Christians? I believe the answer lies in this fact. They were so much like Christ. You see, the word Christian means Christ one. And as we speak of the most peculiar people on earth, I shall ask and answer two questions in the message. One, what is a Christian? And two, why are Christians so peculiar? Now to question number one, what is a Christian? As stated a moment ago, the word Christian means a Christ one. It means to be like Christ. And I declare unto you today that if you are going to be Christ-like, there are certain things that you must do. One of them, you must go to church, because Jesus did. We read in the gospel accounts that as was His custom, He went to the place of worship. Yes, if you're going to be like Christ, you must frequent the church. You must go to worship You must honor God and God's house and God's book and God's day, because this is what being a Christian is all about. If you are going to be like Christ, you must pray, because Jesus prayed. We read that while it was yet a great time before day, Jesus rose to pray. Jesus spent many nights in prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. And so every Christian must be in communication with God through prayer. If you're going to be Christ-like, you must honor God with the first fruits of your income. Jesus did. And Jesus taught his followers to tithe, to bring the first fruits of their income into the storehouse. If you're going to be like Christ, you must be a soul winner. Jesus was. Jesus went about drawing men to himself. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." The blessed privilege of being a Christian is to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring others to a saving knowledge of him, whom to know and know aright means life eternal. If you're going to be like Christ, you must learn to bear your cross. Jesus did. All the way to Calvary's summit, Christ bore the cross for you and me. Jesus said, "If any man be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." To be a Christian brings us face to face with the realities of knowing Christ as personal Savior and of walking in the pathway of obedient service to God the Father. This is what Christ did. He obeyed the Father. And you and I, as Christians in the world today, have a solemn responsibility of fulfilling the duties and responsibilities of being Christians. Someone has said, a real Christian is one who would give his parrot to the town gossip. The Sunday school teacher once asked her pupils, "Why do you suppose people call me a Christian?" And one little fella answered, "Maybe it's because they don't know you." I wonder today, can people call you a Christian when they observe your conduct, when they listen to your conversation, when they observe your attitudes and your approach to life? Can people truly call you a Christian? What if you were arrested for being a Christian? Could you present enough evidence to convict you? Just what is a Christian? A Christian is one who has experienced a new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "You must be born again." A Christian is one who has been transferred into a new realm of activity. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." To be a Christian means to be endowed with a new strength. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4 at verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." To be a Christian means to be adopted into the family of God. We are born in sin. We are born with a sinful nature. And we sin because we are sinners. But when we are saved, we are adopted into the family of God by the Holy Spirit and as a result of the finished work of Christ upon the cross. So to be a Christian means that one has been infused with a new life. We read in Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." To be a Christian means to be endowed with a new relationship. We read it in Romans chapter 8 at verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." This new relationship, having been born into the family of God, is an eternal relationship, for we shall forever be saved. This is what it means to be a Christian, to be saved, to be redeemed, to be pardoned, to be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And to be a Christian means that we've been promised a new body. This old body racks and writhes with pain. There are many difficulties in the human body, but one day we're going to have a new body. So writes Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where he says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Someone has observed that there are 10 classes of Christians. I named them. 1, wheelbarrow Christians, those who have to be pushed. 2, canoes, those that need to be paddled. 3, kites, those upon whom you must have a string to hold them. 4, kittens, they're satisfied as long as you pet them. 5, footballs, you can't tell where they're going to bounce next. 6, balloons, full of wind and might fly away at any moment. 7, trailers, those who are no good unless they're pulled. 8, neon light Christians, those that are off and on. 9, buzzard Christians, those who sense the smallest stink and come flying to it. And 10, sponges, those who soak up all the blessings and never give anything to support the church. Let me ask you a question. What kind of Christian are you? The Bible gives 4 names to Christians. 1, the Bible calls us saints for our holiness. 2, the Bible calls us believers for our faith. 3, the Bible calls us brethren for our love. And 4, the Bible calls us disciples for our knowledge. A further description of a Christian is a mind through which Christ thinks. A Christian is a heart through which Christ lives, a voice through which Christ speaks, and a hand through which Christ helps. This is the Christian, one in whom Christ is living. Someone has described a good Christian as being like a good watch. It has an open face, pure gold, quietly busy, and full of good works. This is a good description of a Christian. Now the second question, why are Christians so peculiar? I submit to you the following reasons. 1, we die in order to live. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." 2, we are peculiar because we lose in order to find. I read in Matthew 16:25, the words of the Savior, who said, "Whosoever shall save his life, the same shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." We are peculiar in the third place because we give in order that we might receive. Jesus said in Matthew 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." We are peculiar in the fourth place because we hunger in order to be filled. In Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We are peculiar because we endure persecution in order to be rewarded. Again, in the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." We are peculiar in the 6th place because we close our eyes in order to see. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 7, "We walk by faith and not by sight." As a Christian, we do everything by faith. We take God at His word and believe Him. Then we are peculiar because we surrender in order to win the victory. When we come to the place in our lives that we are willing to surrender our wills and our ways to God's will and to God's way, then we gain the victory through surrender. I have a footnote and then I'll be through. We are peculiar because we are willing to be absent in order to be present. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so it is. We are willing to be absent from this realm of life, from this body, in order to be present with the Lord. This is what a Christian is, one who has been born again, one who has Christ in his heart, one who is living for the Savior. And no doubt many people say today, they surely are a peculiar people, and rightly so, because we are different, not by anything that we have done, but by the marvelous grace of God, who has brought us to salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I trust today, if you've never anchored your faith in Christ, if you've never believed on Him, if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, you would do so right now. Simply pray the sinner's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Open the door of your heart. Let the Lord Jesus Christ come in, and you too will be saved. May God bless you as you do it, and write us this week, and let us know about your decision for Christ. Again, may I remind you that during anniversary month, during the month of October, to all who write, we will send you free and postage paid one of our books of sermons entitled, Look Up, Christian, Christ is Coming. Write today for yours. Write to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now, until next Lord's Day, at this same time, we wish you well, and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.